Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue.
It's really very good for Ukraine and very good for us.
Visiting the White House today is Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The big question will be,
will America stop military aid or not?
Zelensky will try to persuade President Trump to provide some form of U.S. backing for Ukraine's security against any future Russian aggression. President Trump is looking at signing a mineral bill with Ukraine.
The minerals agreement will provide the basis for a more sustainable future relationship between the United States and Ukraine, and thus stimulate the long-term prosperity that will help the Ukrainians rebuild their country. It's been demolished.
This is seen as a step toward ending the three-year war. After 2 weeks in the hospital, there are encouraging signs about the health of Pope Francis.
Doctors are suggesting Pope Francis has overcome the most critical phase of the infection while holding out on declaring him out of danger entirely. The Vatican's early Friday update also suggests a level of normalcy and routine as the 88-year-old Pope continues recovery in a Rome hospital. Officials say, as in past days, the night was tranquil and the Pope now is resting. Doctors said earlier the Pope's alternating the high-flow supplemental oxygen he had been receiving by a nasal tube with a mask. That's a sign of better breathing ability. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Investigators in Santa Fe, New Mexico have not said whether they have determined the cause of death for Oscar-winning actor Gene Hackman and his wife. They were found in their home. No foul play is suspected. Refugee aid groups say in a federal lawsuit the Trump administration appears to be trying to circumvent a ruling that blocks the president's efforts to suspend the nation's refugee admissions program. This is AP News. After his sentence was commuted by then-President Joe Biden, Leonard Peltier maintains his innocence in the deaths of two FBI agents in 1975. There was a shootout on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation.
I didn't kill nobody, and there's no evidence that I did. None. None whatsoever.
Former FBI Director Chris Wray called Peltier a remorseless killer. Peltier spoke to the AP from his new home on the Turtle Mountain Reservation in North Dakota.
I'm going to spend the rest of my life fighting for our people because we ain't finished yet. We're still in danger.
The now 80-year-old Peltier was part of a movement that fought for Native American rights and tribal self-determination. He feels now threats are on the rise from the federal government to come for mineral and oil on tribal lands.
You don't have to get violent. You don't have to do nothing like that. Just get out there and stand up and express, we got to resist.
Biden said he commuted Peltier's sentence because of his age and declining health. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Meteorologists that forecast local weather were among hundreds under the axe Thursday as Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency moved to shrink a federal workforce that President Donald Trump has called bloated and sloppy. A source tells the Associated Press firings of probationary employees at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration appear to be happening in two rounds, one of 500 and one of 800. Craig McLean, a former NOAA chief scientist, says the first round of cuts were probationary employees. There are about 370 in the National Weather Service, where day-to-day forecasting and hazard warning is done. Some lawmakers are already speaking out. Congresswoman Grace Meng, representing parts of Queens in New York, says the terminations are unconscionable, coming on the heels of hurricanes, flooding, and wildfires. Daniel Swain, a climate scientist at UCLA, says he's concerned the layoffs could eventually deal a self-inflicted wound to America's public safety and the economy. Jennifer King, Washington.
Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Congressman Jerry Connolly of Virginia, and several other Democratic lawmakers have sent a letter to the White House and Elon Musk demanding to know how the DOGE cost-cutting team is sharing potentially sensitive information and whether lapses in security may have exposed U.S. defense and intelligence secrets. The lawmakers wrote, DOGE employees do not appear to fully understand much of the information to which they have been given unfettered access, and given the cavalier and incompetent way ways that they have handled this data, these individuals represent a clear threat to national security and the nation's economy. President Donald Trump and Musk have defended Doge's work, saying it's led to billions of dollars in government savings. A spokesman for the Trump administration says it's vital that Doge workers have access to federal databases. Donna Warter, Washington.
A federal judge in San Francisco has granted temporary relief to a coalition, including labor unions, suing to stop the Trump administration's mass firings of probationary federal employees. U.S. District Judge William Alsup ordered the Office of Personnel Management to inform federal agencies, including the Defense Department, that it had no authority to order the firings. Alsup writing, OPM does not have any authority whatsoever under any statute in the history of the universe to hire or fire any employee but its own. Lawyers for OPM maintain individual agencies made the decision to fire employees, and it had no role in ordering them. Two people familiar with the plan tell AP the Social Security Administration is preparing to lay off at least 7,000 people from its workforce of 60,000, and they say the final reduction in force could be as high as 50%. It's unclear how the layoffs will directly impact benefits. However, advocates and Democratic lawmakers warn that layoffs will reduce the agency's ability to serve recipients in a timely manner. There are 72.5 million Social Security beneficiaries, including retirees and children, who receive retirement and disability benefits. The layoffs are part of the Trump administration's efforts to shrink the size of the federal workforce through the Department of Government Efficiency, run by Elon Musk. Ben Thomas, Washington.
President Trump says talks to end Russia's war in Ukraine are very well advanced, but he has a warning. The president says he thinks a deal could be reached soon.
If it doesn't happen quickly, it may not happen at all.
And is confident once it is done, Vladimir Putin will stick to it.
I don't believe he's going to violate his word.
The president spoke while meeting with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, who, while praising the president's push to end the Russian invasion, had a warning of his own.
It can't be peace that rewards the aggressor.
Starmer's the second European leader to visit the White House this week, reflecting allied concerns the president may be willing to concede too much to Putin.
History must be on the side of the peacemaker, not the invader.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will be at the White House Friday. President Trump says he plans to impose tariffs on Canada and Mexico starting next week, while doubling existing 10% tariffs on all Chinese imports. In a social media post, the president says the tariffs will kick in Tuesday, writing the import taxes will force other nations to crack down on drug trafficking into the U.S.
We've lost millions of people due to fentanyl. It comes mostly from China, but it comes through Mexico and it comes through Canada.
He yesterday signaled the tariffs were coming against America's two biggest trading partners. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said earlier this month his nation would respond.
We will stand up for Canadian workers. We will stand up for Canadian industries.
The prospect of a trade war worries consumers who fear higher prices and slower economic growth as a result. The government says GDP grew at a solid 2.3% annual rate in the last quarter, but the outlook is now cloudier this year. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation says it will increase its giving over the next 2 years. It's a response to what the foundation calls a crisis resulting from the Trump administration's freeze on federal foreign aid and now suspended freeze on federal grants. Foundation President John Palfrey said in a blog post, the cliff of funding from federal programs has sent budgets underwater in field after field, and people and communities in the United States and abroad will suffer. It pays out about $400 million annually. Palfrey expects to add another $150 million over the next 2 years. He's calling on other foundations to increase their giving. Freedom Together Foundation, formerly called JPB Foundation, also announced it would double its grant making. I'm Ed Donahue.
Workers at the U.S. Agency for International Development were given short time slots to clean out their desks at the agency's headquarters in the Reagan Building in Washington today. The Trump administration has notified most USAID staffers that they were on leave or terminated. Outside, the workers were cheered as protesters waved signs and fumed over the gutting of a congressionally authorized agency.
Only Congress can shut down USA.
Kate Parsons was terminated last week and came to show her support.
We still need humanitarian assistance. We still need global health. We still need democracy.
Ben Thompson says the email workers received was disrespectful.
He's tearing down our institutions for fun.
President Trump and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency have targeted USAID, saying the programs are out of line with the Republican president's agenda. The Supreme Court has temporarily blocked a judge's order requiring the federal government to release foreign aid that was frozen by the president on his first day in office. Jennifer King, Washington.
A grassroots organization is encouraging U.S. residents to not spend any money on Friday. The People's Union USA describes it as an act of economic resistance to protest what the group's founder sees as the influence of billionaires and big corporations on average Americans. The group calls the 24 hours of spending abstinence an economic blackout, a term that has been shared and debated on social media. Other activists and faith-based leaders are organizing boycotts to protest companies that have scaled back their diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has dropped several enforcement actions against companies like Capital One, Rocket Homes, and Vanderbilt Mortgage and Finance, along with other companies, just weeks under new leadership and turmoil at the agency. The Trump administration already has ordered the Bureau to stop nearly all of its work, effectively shutting down an agency that was created to protect consumers after the 2008 financial crisis and subprime mortgage lending scandal. Legal action from the CFPB often involves banks, mortgage servicers, credit card companies, student loan processors, payday lenders, money transfer providers, credit reporting agencies, and debt collectors. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Investigators say that actor Gene Hackman and his wife apparently had been dead for some time before a maintenance worker entered the couple's Santa Fe, New Mexico home Wednesday and found their bodies. The Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office says the body of 95-year-old Hackman was found in a mudroom and that he appeared to have fallen. A pair of sunglasses and a cane were nearby. Investigators say the body of Hackman's wife, 63-year-old Betsy Arakawa, was found in a bathroom next to a space heater and that there was an open prescription bottle and pills scattered on a countertop near her body. They say one of their dogs, a German Shepherd, was found dead in the bathroom closet, but two other dogs, one inside the home and one outside, were found alive and well. A sheriff's detective says the couple didn't have any wounds and that there were no signs of a carbon monoxide leak or carbon monoxide poisoning. Brothers Andrew and Tristan Tate arrived in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on Thursday after U.S. authorities lifted travel restrictions on the two. The Tates, who have millions of online followers, had been charged with human trafficking in Romania, but a court ruled in December that the case could not go to trial because of multiple irregularities by prosecutors. The case does remain open. Andrew Tate told reporters shortly after arriving in Florida that he and his brother did nothing wrong.
We live in a democratic society where it's innocent until proven guilty. And I think my brother and I are largely misunderstood. There's a lot of opinions about us, a lot of things that go around about us on the internet. We've yet to be convicted of any crime in our lives ever. We have no criminal record anywhere on the planet ever.
Florida State Attorney General James Uffmeyer says in a social media post that his office will conduct a preliminary inquiry into the Tates. I'm Donna Warder.
Federal prosecutors have charged a woman in a string of vandalism against a Colorado Tesla dealership, including throwing Molotov cocktails at vehicles and spray-painting Nazi cars in the building, along with a message that appeared directed at company co-founder Elon Musk. Lucy Grace Nelson appeared briefly in federal court in Denver after being arrested on a federal charge of malicious destruction of property. The case comes amid rising concerns voiced by Democrats and some Republicans about Musk's influence over the administration of President Donald Trump, and follows recent protests at Tesla storerooms elsewhere in the country. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Damian Troisi, and this is the AP Markets Report. U.S. stock indexes fell sharply Thursday. The S&P 500 sank 1.6% as Wall Street's frenzy around artificial intelligence technology continued cooling. NVIDIA and other high-momentum AI stocks weighed heavily on the market. Concerns about the U.S. economy's future have been behind much of the drop. That includes worries about President Donald Trump's tariffs. The S&P 500, Wall Street's main measure of health, has lost all but 1.4% of its rallies since Election Day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average eked out a 0.4% gain. The technology-heavy NASDAQ Composite tumbled 2.8%. Damian Troisi, New York.
The National Association of Realtors says pending home sales in the U.S. dropped 4.6% in January, and the number of homes under contract in January fell 5.2% from a year ago. There were month-over-month declines in the Midwest, the South, and the West, with the most significant drop in the South. Sales in the Northeast rose modestly. NAR chief economist Lawrence Yoon says it's unclear if January's terrible weather contributed to fewer buyers in the market. Mortgage rates in January were between 6.91% and 7.04%, and in January, home prices went up on an annual basis for the 19th consecutive month, with a national median sales price at $396,900, 4.8% higher than a year ago. Donna Water, Washington.
Another week, another drop in mortgage rates. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage fell this week to 6.76%. This is the sixth weekly decline. It brings the average rate to its lowest level since mid-December. The average rate briefly fell to a two-year low of just above 6% last September, but has mostly been hovering around 7% this year. The latest drop is an encouraging sign for home shoppers as the spring home buying season gets underway. I'm Alex Vega.
The number of Americans filing for jobless benefits last week hit a three-month high. The Labor Department says there were 242,000 claims, up 22,000 from a week earlier. While that was the most in 3 months, it's still within the same healthy range of the past 3 years. The claims are considered a proxy for layoffs, and some analysts say they expect layoffs ordered by the Department of Government Efficiency to show up in the report in coming weeks. Government agencies have been told to submit plans for not just laying off workers, but eliminating their positions altogether. Sagar Magani, Washington.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. Stephen Curry drained 12 three-pointers, including a half-court buzzer beater before halftime, and finished with a season-high 56 points in the Warriors' 121-115 win over the Magic.
Juices start flowing, and the rim grows, and just keep shooting.
Spurs coach Greg Popovich will not coach for the remainder of the season, but is not ruling out a comeback in the future. Popovich met with the team on Thursday, releasing a statement afterward to make his decision public. The 76-year-old Popovich, the NBA's all-time coaching wins leader, had a stroke at the team's arena in San Antonio on November 2nd and has been away from the team since. Popovich says, quote, "I will continue to focus on my health with the hope that I can return to coaching in the future." Travis Kelce is coming back for a 13th NFL season. The Chiefs' four-time All-Pro tight end and three-time Super Bowl champion confirmed his decision in a text message sent to and read on air by ESPN's Pat McAfee. The 35-year-old is the NFL's all-time leader in postseason receptions and holds the record for most 1,000-yard seasons by a tight end at seven. The 10-time Pro Bowler has 12,151 career yards receiving, which is tops in Chiefs history. His 77 touchdowns are the fifth most by a tight end in NFL history.
The Buccaneers are reinstating former coach John Gruden into their Ring of Honor.
Jake Knapp joined the PGA Tour's Sub-60 Club on Thursday. Knapp, the number 99 player in golf's current world rankings, shot a bogey-free 59 in the opening round of the Cognizant Classic at PGA National, the 15th time that someone has broken 60 in a PGA Tour event.
Didn't really think about it, to be honest with you. I think if you start thinking about it too much, it's just going to add pressure.
Knapp finished one shot off the tour scoring record of 58, done by Jim Furyk in the final round of the 2016 Travelers Championship. Knapp became the 14th player to shoot a sub-60 round. It's been done 15 times, with Furyk being the only one to card such a round twice. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
Dozens of people have reportedly been injured after two explosions hit a meeting of M23 rebel group leaders and residents in eastern Congo. Video and photos shared on social media on Thursday show a crowd fleeing the meeting in Bukavu in panic and bloodied bodies on the ground. Leaders of the M23 rebel group were meeting residents when the explosion occurred in the central park of Bukavu. Among the rebel leaders present was Corneille Nangaa, leader of the Congo River Alliance, which includes the M23. 2023. M23 rebels have swept through the region, seizing cities and killing some 3,000 people. Morocco's King Mohammed VI has made a rare break with tradition by urging families to forego buying sheep to sacrifice during the upcoming Eid al-Adha. As the month of Ramadan approaches, markets are getting busy as Moroccans buy supplies of certain foods that are needed to break their fasts after sunset. However, in a letter read on state television on Wednesday, Morocco's king advised families against buying sheep for Eid al-Adha, an annual celebration that is separate from Ramadan and is taking place in June this year. The king said buying sheep could harm families with limited income because sheep have become so expensive. That's because rainfall has plummeted, animal feed prices have spiked, and sheep supply has shrunk. It's the first time Morocco has issued such a decree in nearly 30 years for Eid al-Adha. I'm Karen Shemas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.